I'm going to start the sermon, not so much with a joke as a real humorous incident, and I apologise for those of you who've heard it before. David's maternal grandmother lived into her 90s. She'd been stone deaf from the age of 30. Her last few years were spent in a beautiful care home with a lovely garden, tranquil views and kind staff. David's mum would take Gran large print library books every fortnight and change them for the ones that Gran had read. One day Gran said, "I don't want any more books about wars." David's mum looked down at the titles and didn't see "Goodbye to All That" or "Anne Frank's Diary" or "Mein Kampf." "What do you mean wars?" Mum asked Gran. "You know, wars," slowly quietening her voice. "Loose women, ladies of the night." You see, as a well-brought-up woman of the early part of the 20th century, she'd never heard the word whore, so she didn't know how it was pronounced. Why begin the sermon with that story? Because the heroine of this chapter of the Bible was what we are nowadays encouraged to call a sex worker. Many men visited her house. In fact, she probably ran a brothel rather than being a sole trader. A prostitute in the late Bronze Age in Jericho might well have been a sacred prostitute, but as we heard earlier, she probably wasn't. So why did the spies go to her house? As we heard in that lovely passage by, I've forgotten his name, sorry, Pillow Talk. Rahab heard all the gossip. Men talked in her presence because she was a nothing. She wasn't listening because she was just an object. Curiously, it's not recorded that the spies scouted out anywhere else. They didn't go and investigate the fortifications or the numbers of men fit to fight. They apparently heard all they needed to know from Rahab. There is another theory, and that's really what that emphasised. A revolution was beginning in Jericho, which was coinciding with the coming invasion. In other words, many marginalised people in Canaan actually thought they'd be better off being ruled by the Israelites than by the king of Jericho and the other feudal lords. Yet the first person recorded who was willing to switch sides was not only a woman, but a woman with a dubious history. The irony of this is that the first teller of the Lord's doings in the book of Joshua is Rahab, a Canaanite prostitute. Before the spies settled down for the night, the harlot came up to them on the roof and said, "I know that your God has given you the land. We're all afraid. Everyone in the country feels hopeless. We heard how God dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you when you left Egypt, and what he did to the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan, whom you put under a holy curse and destroyed. We heard it all and our hearts sank. We all had the wind knocked out of us, and all because of you, you and your God, God of the heavens above and of the earth below." Rahab not only gave the two spies the lowdown on the mood in Jericho, she knew about God. The deeds that Yahweh'd done had preceded the spies and the invasion. One theological point, perhaps, for us to ponder. Why were the spies sent to do reconnaissance at all? Spoiler alert, the battle is going to be won by miraculous, not military means. Judy's look at the bit of numbers was about faith and fear. Joshua 2 teaches us about faith and grace. Joshua had no idea what his two spies would find out or how. And what they found was that a simple woman already knew about Yahweh and was ready to put her trust in those who served that God. She'd never been to a synagogue or learned of the God of Abraham at her mother's knee. You might argue that it was just a canny thing to do to collaborate with the invaders. But as James the epistle writer reminds us, in the same way was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. And the letter to the Hebrew reads, by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who are disobedient. I actually think that if the religion you'd been brought up on was focused on fertility both of people and agriculture, the stories of a God who can hold back a sea to help his people escape from the oppression of slavery under Pharaoh, that must sound pretty good. But Rahab doesn't just stop at that miracle. She calls Yahweh God of the heavens and the earth, which very much disparages the three gods she'd been taught to worship, who just gave or denied good crops and pregnancies. She decided that El, Baal, and Asherah were no longer worth worshipping. What a shame that the people out there don't understand that their gods of consumerism and egotism will fail them. If they become redundant, their worship of getting new, will be over. If they experience rejection on a personal level, their pride will be severely dented, and they'll come to realize the world does not revolve around them. But do those people out there, I can see them walking past, do they know where to turn when their modern idols let them down? Because Rahab's story is about more than her realizing that Yahweh is the one true God. It's about the God we all know and love, through his mercy and grace, welcoming Rahab, a sinner, into his kingdom. God doesn't just allow the two spies to use Rahab. She makes them swear on their God that she and her family will be spared. And how does that happen? Through a red cord. The symbolism of this red cord is like a certain brand of toilet roll. Or is it that washing machine descaler thing? It goes on and on. I mean, firstly, is this the origin of the red light district? And of course, it reminds us of the story of the Israelites escaping from Egypt. The last of the 10 plagues was the death of the firstborn. And to protect the firstborn from the angel of death in the Hebrew families, they had to lose the blood of the sacrificed lamb to paint the lintels and doorposts of their dwellings. When I checked out these details, AI told me that the blood was painted on using a bunch of hyssop. What's the symbol of that, I wondered. None at all. It's just that hyssop was widely available. Its leaves held the liquid well, almost like a sponge or paintbrush. So there we go. Also, of course, the red cord prefigures the blood of Jesus being shed on the cross. Rahab's family was the only family saved when Jericho was destroyed. But the symbolism of linking it to Jesus' blood saving grace means we can all be saved. Despite being a sex worker, Rahab is remembered in the New Testament as a model of faith, perhaps in a rather non-traditional way. But our pasts are similarly behind us. We can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Our sins can be obliterated, and we are free to worship our Trinitarian God in traditional or free church ways. Such a woman as Rahab was a problem to many historians. Josephus calls her an innkeeper, although the Hebrew word, anybody read Hebrew? Zona, is far more explicit. Legends have her eventually marrying Joshua and being the mother of 8 prophets, including some biggies, like Ezekiel and Jeremiah. I think they were probably born far too far apart for that to be true. So let's just stick to Matthew's genealogy. There are only two hymns. You know, I like to link everything together in the service. There are two hymns that mention Rahab by name. And the first line of the one we are not singing, are you ready? In Matthew's gospel, there are five faith mothers called by name. Catchy little number, isn't it? But it does have a good chorus. If God could find a use for them, their faithfulness ignite, then surely God can use us too as bearers of the light. What do we do with our freedom from sin and the knowledge that we're destined for heaven? I don't like to think that we hoard it as something just for ourselves. But I do think, I wrote this and now I'm looking round, it doesn't apply at all. I do think us mostly reserved Brits. Put your hand up if you're not a reserved Brit. There you go, half the congregation. But I think we all need a few lessons in evangelism that works in the 21st century. So don't go out and get yourself a sandwich board. Just come alongside people and take every opportunity to share what we know. Did this ever work? We know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But how do we share that? Let's think of that story. The spies didn't come in and preach to Rahab. She already knew about God. They went to her house with another intention and found a genuine seeker of the truth. The Holy Spirit has to be working in someone, or our words fall on stony ground. And who is that someone? Maybe a neighbour or a relative. It may be a vagabond. We sang that word in Moses, I know you're the man, and we're going to sing it again later. When we sang about Moses, I know you're a man, at the end it quoted Jesus where he says, foxes have homes and whatever else. Jesus didn't. In the story of Jesus, as we read it in the Gospels, he could be described as a vagabond. Because he was a wanderer, he didn't have any visible means of support. He didn't have a job or a proper home. At the time, many expected God to come and save them, but few expected God to show up as a homeless man, unmarried and unemployed. That's why they didn't believe him. And we all have prejudices, either spoken or silent. Because we're Christian, it's not usually an obvious prejudice against a race or a skin colour, or, as it used to be, against a whole gender. But it might be against, I don't know, people who don't recycle, people who drive too fast, adulterers, homosexuals, people who are beggars or addicts or sex workers. Sometimes we don't even understand our prejudices ourselves. But we too are sinners. So our prejudices are there somewhere. Just a few questions. You know you love the questions. To finish the sermon. All Rahab's relatives were saved when Jericho fell. How did she persuade them? Did she teach them what she knew of the miracles of Yahweh? And if Matthew's genealogy is true, how did Rahab meet Salmon and have at least one child called Boaz? And I'll finish with the question I asked earlier. Why did Joshua send spies anyway when the battle was won by a miracle and not military might? Could it have been just to rescue Rahab and her family? So we're going to sing